This is Allison Bailey, Chair of the Cardiovascular Management Section Leadership Council at the American College of Cardiology. The Cardiovascular Management Section is very pleased to host this podcast series, Practice Made Perfect, which will focus on non-clinical competencies related to leadership skills, professional identity, operational skills, and personal balance. We hope you'll join us every other week as we learn from experts in the field who will remind us that practice really does make perfect. My name is Allison Bailey, and I'll be your host today on the podcast as we discuss the importance of advocacy, which is one of my passions. I'm very excited to welcome Dr. Sandy Lewis, Dr. Thad Waits, and Dr. Sam Jones, who all share this passion and have been doing great things the last few years, and even more during this time of the COVID pandemic. Welcome to the show, team. Dr. Sandy Lewis is a practicing cardiologist at Legacy Medical Group Cardiology, as well as an adjunct clinical associate professor of medicine at Oregon Health and Sciences University in Portland, Oregon. She also serves as the chair of the section steering committee at the college, as well as the chair of the HeartPAC, which is ACC's political action committee. Welcome, Sandy. And next is Dr. Thad Waits. Dr. Waits is a cardiologist at the Heart and Vascular at Hattiesburg Clinic in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, as well as serving on the State Board of Health for Mississippi. Dr. Waits has been involved in many roles at the college, including chair of the Board of Governors, and remains committed to advocacy. Welcome to the show, Thad.
Thank you very much. I love this podcast, and I'm proud to be part of it now.
And then finally, I'd like to welcome Dr. Sam Jones. Sam's an electrophysiologist at the Chattanooga Heart Institute and co-chair of the electrophysiology service line for Calm and Spirit, and he's here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He currently serves as chair of the Health Affairs Committee at the American College of Cardiology. Welcome, Sam.
Thanks, Allison. Like that, I've listened to your podcast, love it, and honored to be here with you and Thad and Sandy.
Well, again, I'd like to thank you all for joining us today and sharing your insight into this really important and timely topic. I'd like to start off by asking Thad to tell us, what does advocacy mean, or what does it mean when we say that we're advocating for something in our world of patient care?
Thank you, Allison. I don't know if you picked me first because I love words and I love looking up this word to know the etymology of it. And in fact, it just means adding a voice. That's what advocacy is. But we now know it as an activity in which a group or maybe individuals influence decisions in all kinds of areas, including politics, economics, social institutions. In the world that we're now talking about, this, the ACC, we have the advocacy division, and that's run by the remarkable Nick Morris, and we have the absolute best staff in the world in ACC advocacy. We've always been part of the pillar or the foundation of the college. And I say that because if you look back at some of the images of our strategic plans, I think even two back, one of them had the pillar holding up everything and there was advocacy. Another one had the platform and there was advocacy on that. So we advocate for a lot of things, and I think we're going to get into that even more later, and I won't cover those. But I will say that advocacy is very patient-centered and we are member-centered. And I love what Rick Snyder has said to me, that we affect one patient at a time when we're in an office, but we do more impact in boardrooms and legislative chambers than in the exam rooms and the operating rooms that all of us work out of. So I know we'll talk more about this, but I'll turn it back to you, Allison.
Thanks, Thad. I think that's really great info, both about advocacy at the college as well as why it's important to do that for those of us involved in healthcare. It really is a voice for our patients. Can you share with us how you became interested in advocacy? Because I think everybody has a story, and sort of share what your journey was.
I sure will. I'd be glad to. In fact, Minna Walsh gave me away a few years ago when she was given an advocacy talk. She showed a picture of me, in which I was the Secretary of Education for the entire state of Mississippi. That only lasted for one day. It was part of Boys State, and it was after my junior year in high school. I actually became involved in the heart of the civil rights movement, and well, in the nation, but in Mississippi, which was very much a hot spot for all of that. Even went to a, maybe shouldn't tell this, but I'll tell it anyway. I went to a concert with Joan Baez. We all locked up in our arms and sang We Shall Overcome. And during that time, I heard some things that just really made me know that I needed to be more involved in the politics of the world. in med school, I was the person involved with the Student Government Association. So we advocated to the AMA for student issues at that time. And then I did some things with the American Heart Association. But it really took off for me when I became a member of the Board of Governors as governor for Mississippi. And I get another shout out to Rick Snyder. Rick was on the board at that time. And every time he would talk about how our main role as governor should be to advocate for our patients and for the college. For 1 year, as past chair of the Board of Governors, I was ex officio on the Advocacy Steering Committee, which then became the Health Affairs Committee. And for 3 years, I was chair of that. And then also an additional one-off year, as we had to wait one more year to get the great Sam Jones to be the chair to follow me. So being a lieutenant in the Navy, I did relinquish my position to the colonel of the Air Force, Dr. Jones. And that's my story.
Well, what a wonderful story that is. So I learned two things about you today, Thad, that you know Joan Baez, which is really cool, and that also that you served our country. And thank you for that. I am so appreciative of members of the military. Sandy, could you tell us how you became interested in advocacy as well?
I just want to say thank you to both Sam and Thad for their service to our country. What an honor to be on this podcast with the three of you. I wouldn't hesitate to add my voice to things all along the way, so perhaps advocacy has been in my blood. It really goes back also to high school. When I was editor of my high school paper, I interviewed our Senator Wayne Morse, who was quite a character. He had great skill at not answering my questions, and it was very frustrating, but it also gave me the impetus to try to dig in and make change. As a high school senior, I was able to visit DC with a group of women from around the country. And at that time, I went to a reception where I met Bobby and Teddy Kennedy. My senator, Mark Hatfield, sent one of his aides to bring me to the Senate floor because there was a vote going on, so I got to ride the Senate train. And I guess I caught the political bug. But as a child of the 60s and 70s, change and turmoil were the norm. I was a journalism student and really an observer. And the path of advocating for peaceful change to the turmoil and riots on the campuses really shifted while I was overseas for 6 months. I went away thinking that we had to work for peace, and I came back and my whole campus was boarded up and riots were going on. I remember feeling helpless, and I was really unable to advocate for change and confused as how the violence grew. And I actually looked to medicine as a career where I might actually have impact on a one-on-one basis. But I never lost the drive to understand crucial political issues, awe for the political process, however human, and take the opportunity to advocate for our patients and colleagues.
Wow, that's a really great story too, Sandy. And I know you've been very involved in advocacy for years, but you currently chair the Heart PAC. Can you tell us what the Heart PAC is and what that means to us as members of the cardiovascular care team and our patients?
And involvement in advocacy encompasses really all aspects of cardiology, from the care of our patients with our voice for their Medicare and insurance needs, to our practices, with national development of relationships on the Hill through our PAC, bringing our legislators at home into home visits in our hospitals, and becoming the source of advice for those legislators we support and advise. Our PAC contributions go directly to support legislators who serve on key committees impacting the cardiovascular community. Our grassroots advocacy works on local and also on state priorities and issues as well. And the grassroots efforts really hold a special place for all of the membership.
And the Heart PAC really is nonpartisan. Is that correct?
Right. The Heart PAC is the nonpartisan political voice of the college. It was formed by members and for members. It impacts the political process, builds grassroots contacts, and brings about election results in line with the ACC advocacy goals. That's really important to understand, that we are not red, we're not blue. We are looking for members whose activities can directly impact our patients and our members. So by getting to know these people, we can educate them and have a dialogue so that our perspective becomes part of legislation. Congressional actions impact the delivery of healthcare in every practice. The HEART PAC works to ensure that the college remains a major player in legislative discussions important to the cardiovascular care community. Some of the examples of this are that our leadership or members who have a special interest are invited to special congressional hearings to testify and to be part of things. For instance, most recently, we were involved with the Veterans Administration and the committees that were dealing with that. And this is an election year like none other, both from its importance to our cardiovascular team and the disruption from our pandemics. Every college member or staff should join the HEART PAC, especially this year. On the ground, we have an amazing DC team who meet regularly with key members of Congress and their staffs. Our voice on the ground and immediate resources for challenges. They help set the path for us. Of course, our legislative conference gives us as members an opportunity to fly in, well, not this year, to DC and share our legislative agenda directly with members of Congress. The HEART PAC supports the campaigns of congressional members who support our priorities. These are usually people who sit on key committees, those with direct responsibility for health, healthcare budgets, et cetera, and funding for NIH and things like that. We're not necessarily red or blue, and that's sometimes tough for members to understand, that we may be supporting people who may not have our total support in everything that they do.
Wow. I think that's so important that everybody out there understands, but especially our cardiovascular care community, is that we have lots and lots of ways that we can affect the care of the patients. Not only is it at the bedside, like Thad was saying, but it's in all of these extra efforts we do. And advocacy is so important. You know, I'm a faithful member of the HEART PAC and really support all of the great things that you and the rest of the team are doing. So we know there's lots of ways to get involved from a college standpoint, and you know, there's a website if anyone's interested. But really, this brings me to some of the important things our ACC has been advocating for us and for our patients, because that forms the backbone of everything we do. I think a lot of this work is not always front and center, so members may not necessarily recognize it. Sam, can you tell us a little about the Health Affairs Committee and what the role is of the committee in the college, as well as how you became involved in advocacy?
Yes, I'll take the second part of that first, about how I became involved in advocacy. I think a lot of it is very similar to what Thad and Sandy said, which is throughout, I think, my time in medical school and residency and fellowships, and even my time in the military and then after military, always had a sense at each step of the way that the system could just be better. I think when I was in the military, I was very honored to have served, but throughout, I would always think, how can we make this better for our entire system? And then certainly as a physician now, that's the feeling I get all the time. And I think all of us have that. We think about our burnout that we feel. A lot of that's because we're just frustrated so much of the time. And we think that the system could be better. It could be better for our patients first and foremost. And it could be better when we look around for our nurses. It could be better for our healthcare workers. And I think that really is the fuel that has made me want to get further involved in advocacy. And in my work with the college, when I had a chance to be on the Board of Governors, we had a fantastic chair at that time named Thad Waits. And then after that, he really served as a mentor for me to help explain how advocacy could work toward that goal. So when we see things wrong in the system, we can either just complain about it or we can try to do something about it. We don't have to just take it. We can try to change it. Sometimes that's a long process, but certainly gives you a sense of empowerment to know that you're working toward that goal. And that really is what the Health Affairs Committee and advocacy is. As you said, there are so many different sections as part of the ACC. There's so many different committees, and the Health Affairs Committee is one of those committees. The primary goal of the Health Affairs Committee is to help form our public policy for the college, and then also evaluate external proposals and communications as we look outward with our different groups that we work with. Obviously, we work a lot with the government, both on a state level and a federal level, and with a lot of the different areas there in the agencies, specifically with CMS. We work with private payers quite a bit and some of the rules and regulations that they come down. And then obviously we have a lot of direct relationships as members on our committee form delegates that go out to the AMA. We have members of our committee that are involved in the Relative Value Scale Update Committee on the Partners in Quality, which works with quality measures that the college helps form. We have members on the CPT committee. So all of this really forms. So our committee has 22 members. We have various subspecialties involved as well as various types of practices so that we really try to represent many parts of cardiology in that. These are extremely talented people. I'm very honored to be on the Health Affairs Committee. And as previously stated, we have the ACC staff, which is just a phenomenal group of people. I think we really have the best staff of any health group that you can imagine. So very fortunate to have the ACC staff that works hand in hand with us and helps guide us through many of these issues.
Wow, Sam, that was a really great summary. And I am sorry, but I forgot to thank you for your service as well. I'm totally remiss in that. There's no one I respect more than veterans in this country, especially those of you who've been involved in healthcare. And I echo everything you said about our ACC staff. I think they've been amazing in the past, but especially during this last little bit. Obviously, this committee that you chair serves a very important role for all of us, both as healthcare providers as well as the patients that we take care of. Thank you, Sandy, Thad, and Sam, for discussing the importance of advocacy and explaining the systems within the college that are involved with advocacy. Join us for part two of this Practice Made Perfect podcast when we continue this important discussion.